the sin of the world. Now, the sin of the world was Adamic sin. That's what the sin of the world was, the Adamic sin. Well, every human being that ever lived received the benefit of Christ's death on the cross, and to the extent that Adam's transgression was atoned for, never to be brought up against one single person in the world. And you know, regarding the resurrection of the dead, and I believe I mentioned this over at Gateway maybe the other night. A baby was crying back in the house, and I made mention of the fact that in the death of Christ, that baby was taken care of. That nothing that Adam did would be against that baby. And that baby was not responsible for himself or herself yet, and therefore would have to answer for nothing to God. Well, now Jesus took care of that on the cross. Now that baby, if it had not been for the death of Christ and the shedding of his blood, every infant that ever died would go to hell. But they don't go to hell simply because Jesus paid the price and they're free. Every child, every infant that's ever died is in heaven tonight. And I might say that that was unconditional on the part of the individual. Not only that, it's unconditional on the part of every sinner in the world tonight as it pertains to their resurrection. The resurrection of Christ from the dead assures that every person that has ever lived, one day will hear the voice of the Son of God. You know, the Bible said the voice of the Son of Man. Now, Jesus, as the Son of Man, tasted death for every man. I mean, all mankind. He tasted death for all mankind, everywhere. And every person that has ever lived since the world began, saint and sinner, in the morning of the resurrection, will come out of the grave and live again. Of course, they'll be living in eternal death, those that know not God. But they'll never cease to exist. They'll be living somewhere, existing somewhere. And Jesus did that on the cross. And I want to give you some more facts that I have right here connected with that. Some scripture. In the first chapter of Genesis, I believe we'll start right there for our introduction. When God created all things, in 6 days, I believe you'll find in the first chapter, maybe the 11th and 12th verses of that chapter, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, Now that is just simply green grass. Now, in addition to that, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now this is associated with the lesson tonight, in this vine and the branches. Every herb that God created, his seed was in it, and it was to be perpetuated from the seed. Now, the grass, the green grass, didn't have the seed, and that was for the beasts that he'd created. Now, the seed was to be perpetuated continually and is associated with that seed also that we are saved by. That is an eternal seed, an everlasting seed. Now, that seed that he's talking about, we find over there in the child of Abraham. Well, it proceeded from Abraham. Abraham's promised seed was Isaac. And the Bible said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now he said, not into seeds of many, when he is talking about the Israel of God, but of Christ. That's the seed that he is talking about. So, in the language of the Apostle Peter, the first chapter and the 23rd verse tells us we're born of an incorruptible seed. And brethren, that seed is the Word of God. That's the perpetual seed from eternity, just as God created and made every herb of the field and bring forth seed after its kind, and his seed was in itself, as well as the fruit trees. So the seed must be there before there can be any fruit. And that's the lesson he's teaching right here in this 15th chapter. The water sprout has reference to those that were taken care of in the death of Christ that do not bring forth fruit. They do not bear fruit. Those that were benefited by the death of Christ, who don't go on and repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ when they reach the age of accountability, but go on in their sin, will never bear fruit. They're being saved by the incorruptible seed that, and you know, John said in 3:9 of his letter, the first letter, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him," stays there. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, if he cannot sin, he's going to be a fruit bearer. Nothing to prevent it. So the seed that he's talking about here is that Word of God, the incorruptible seed which lives and abides forever. But there's two different characters that's referred to here in the 15th chapter of this lesson. All right, I want to read a little more to kindly confirm what we have said. I've got a listing here of some scripture that I want to use. It was as the Son of Man that he became identified with the whole human race when he said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Now, in what, who did he draw? In what sense did he draw all men unto him in his death? Simply what we said a while ago, this confirms it, that if all men were drawn to Christ in his death, they all received the benefit of the Adamic sin being removed forever, and their resurrection assured. Notice another. Now that's in John 12:32, if you want to read it. "And he said this of himself, as the Son of Man is clear from the..." excuse me. "Immediately preceding statement, in verse 23, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And an earlier statement, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now he said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness just as he was lifted up. "Whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life." So the believing has to come before the fruit. The saving has to come before the fruit. Now I want to give you another scripture along that line. In the Ephesian letter, Paul said, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." There must be the creation in addition to the benefit of that received in the death of Christ. And he said, "We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus with a view to good works." So the creation has to take place before the good works. So that water sprout over there, that one that received the benefit in the removal of the Adamic sin, unless he goes on and trusts in Christ the Savior, no fruit. Notice some more. Now, I'm going to go out a little further on a limb tonight. Christ's assurance of his propitiation for the Adamic sin from the beginning assured natural life for the human race. His life came through him. I wish every unsaved person in the world could realize that tonight. That even in the death of Christ, that human life was extended. He didn't have to die. Now, I mean, it ceased to exist. The human family would have ended without that. And somebody might ask the question, well, why and how could that be? Because the seed of human life was preserved in the death of Christ on the cross. Life came through him. All right. Romans 5:12. Notice that. And I believe you'll agree with what I've just said. Romans 5:12. Now let's turn over and read that. This is a good lesson here tonight. I hope we'll take it with us. Wherefore, as by one man, now listen, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now that sin was in Adam. That sin was in Adam. Now, we're not going to be responsible. The Lord fixed it on the cross that we'll not be responsible for Adam's sin, but for our own sin. So, that was put away. All right, let's look a little further. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam, 14th verse. From Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now Moses was not the figure here. The figure of him that was to come was Christ, or Adam rather. Adam was the figure of Christ. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Which shows us that there must be an additional benefit received by the individual before he can claim or be identified with the righteousness of God. Now, I've got another thought I want you to notice. There's been a question asked me a number of times. I want to turn over there and read it. All right, in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now listen to the fourth verse. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. Now let's pass right on down here just a little bit. Yeah. He was not, now talking about John the Baptist, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. What light? That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. No exception. The same one that we've been talking about tonight who put away the Adamic sin and brought light to the human race is the very one he's talking about here. In him was light, and that light was the light of man. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So if it's every man, then every man receives that benefit of the death of Christ. All right, I want to notice another thought right here. Now, in the 5th chapter of John and the 29th verse, get this. There's still another statement here now that applies to life, to the life of Son of Man, that applies to all men, not just believers. Listen to this. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, the Son of Man's voice, and shall come forth. No exception. Every last one's going to hear the voice of the Son of God. And it's all fixed back there in his death. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now this, of course, is the body of the resurrection. Notice 1 Corinthians 15 and 21 in connection with that. For since by man came death, by man, the Son of Man, that's who it is, came also the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, 21. Thus in him who said, every branch in me there is life in a universal sense, that's what he's talking about. It is for all men. This life is on a purely human plane. It is not divine, nor is it eternal. In the figure, it is represented by the corruptible wooden leaves of the branches. Now that's rich to me. Notice to this, in him there's also a divine life that becomes available to all because of the fact that he has overcome for all. That physical death which came through Adam's sin, he on the cross became in his humanity united with all men, those who through faith in him as the Son of God became or become united with him in his divine being, are become children of God. They are in Christ and have eternal life. Now, I don't want to get monotonous about this, but there's some other things that we need to think about in connection with it. Now, the Gospel of John, we've noticed that it absolutely teaches the universality of life of the human race, human nature, that is, in the Son of God. So it also teaches the certainty of a divine eternal life in the Son of God for a limited number. All who believe, while he drew all men unto himself on the cross, only those who receive him are born of God. Now, this gives us another thought about the scripture. He is the Savior of all men, and a special Savior of them that believe. That explains it, doesn't it? So this is rich. Let me give you something else to think about before we leave tonight. I thought about that just now. There's a lot of scriptures that are misinterpreted, and by doing so, it leads into error every time. And I've had debates on the subject of apostasy. And these scriptures were used by them to uphold their theories of apostasy. But there's always an answer in harmony with the other scriptures bearing on that subject. Notice Matthew 13, 1 to 23. Parable of the sower. Now, it's claimed that the seed that grew in stony ground, the seed was there, they say. And their argument is the seed is there, and it grew up. There was life. And therefore, they didn't bear any fruit, and they're lost. That's the argument. The fact is that the key word in this parable is just exactly what I was talking about a while ago. That word's fruit. That word is fruit. There was that bore fruit, and there was that didn't bear any fruit. And that's exactly what that parable of the sower is teaching. It's what we've been talking about tonight. And we go right back to Genesis 1:11 for the answer to it. And the seed was in itself perpetually, and the seed that brings about everlasting life is Christ. And he is the perpetual Savior of all mankind. Now, look at this. That which grew among the rocks and the thorns bore no fruit, hence it had no seed in it. While that which bore fruit did have seed. As has previously been mentioned, all who are born again, saved, are born of an incorruptible seed by the word of God. And that seed remains in them. Thus, the Bible clearly makes the continuing presence of a seed a sign of the new birth. If that seed remains in a person, that individual has been saved. And if that seed remains in that herb that God created, and he said it would, it produces, reproduces itself. And there's fruit continually and perpetually. The same applies to those born of the Word of God. And I might add right here that the absence of that is proof there was no regeneration to begin with. All right? Except a corn of wheat, Jesus said, fall into the ground and die. It abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Now, there never has been anybody that's brought any fruit that hasn't died to sin. That's absolute essential. And that's brought about in repentance. People die to sin when they repent toward God. This much fruit are those who are saved through his death and resurrection. They are fruit, not the blade, not the stalk, which withers. Now, what is the blade and the stalk? It alludes to the flesh, the body. The seed is not there. The life that is in the seed of any grain today is the same life it was in the seed when God created it. That's right. Every seed has its own body. And in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I'll have to hush in a minute, we go to the resurrection. And this is rich to me. I enjoy thinking about it. I want to do a little comparing right here. If I can find what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Here it is. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. No exceptions. Every last individual in all the world that's ever lived will be made alive one day. Come out of the grave. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign. Now he's reigning tonight. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And you know what that last one is. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, look at the 35th verse. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? Well, the Bible answers that question. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit which dwelleth in you. Now that's for the believer. But the death of Christ on the cross, as we said a while ago, guarantees the resurrection of every body. Now, here he answers, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. But bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now that's simple, isn't it? I raised a farm boy, lived on a farm for years, made a crop one year after another. What time I wasn't in school and working in public work, and that wasn't very long. Let's consider that. This is a simple answer to the resurrection. You go out there and sow wheat, you're not going to get back that grain that you put in the ground. And if anybody's ever entertained the idea the same body that's planted in corruption is going to come back, forget it, because it's not going to happen. Held a funeral of a first cousin of mine yesterday, or Sunday rather, 72 years old. Had kidney failure. He'd been on support for some time, 2 years, well, hardly 2 years, dialysis. And he used to be no bigger man than me. He was swollen till he hardly recognized him except from a side view. And these thoughts came to my mind. That body won't come back, but the seed is there, and it'll be reproduced. Just like that wheat that's sown out there in the ground, that seed that's on that the head of that wheat will be just like the one that's planted, but it won't be the one that's planted. And besides, it won't be a corruptible body anymore. It'll be a body fashioned like the glorified body of the Son of God. So, plant a grain of corn, you're going to get corn back, just like that was planted, but not the one that's planted. So he's explaining this, and a child could understand it. Now, I could go further, and we could talk about invalids and old men and women up in the 80s and 90s, crippled, hardly able to get about. Are they going to be that way in heaven? What about that baby? Dying in infancy, that's an infirmity. There won't be no baby in glory. The seed of the resurrection is in that baby, just like it is that old man or woman. The reproduction will come forth. Somebody might say, well, what will they be like? I've always thought, and I believe it, Jesus lived here around 33 years. And I think he went away to glory in the prime of life. I believe we'll all be that too. All infirmities will be done away. Anybody have a word? God's got everything fixed just right. And if we could ever get the lesson and the knowledge of what God has prepared, it brings us closer to Him and closer to reality. Of course, I realize that scripture said, eye is not seen, no. Ear is not heard. Neither has it entered the heart of man the things the Lord prepared for them that love Him. But we do get a foretaste down here, don't we? That's right. And with that foretaste, not having the knowledge in our heart or entering into our mind, heaven's going to be wonderful. Anyone at all have anything you'd like to say before we go? That's right, they're there.
It's rigged.
I agree with you. It's rigged.
I enjoy it very much.
Thank
God bless you.
I'd like to ask for prayer. All right, remember this request. I'd like for you to pray for my family. I've got grandchildren that's lost. I want to see them saved. Someone else. That's right.
No way.
It takes the spirit that indicted that lesson for the person reading it to understand it. Can't do it of himself. Someone else. That's right. That's right. It's like being hungry and sitting down to a good table of good food, isn't it? Because there's no better food than that. Someone else, Brother Dean.
Mm-hmm. freedom we have as part of the country from us to have to go out to.
That's right.
What you tell us, it's some things going on, and it's hard to imagine how a lot of people in this world live tonight because some of the things for granted.
That's right.
You can tell that by, and if it's not here, it should be.
That's right, that's right. I like to think of salvation of reaching to both soul and body, and all of us wrapped up in one package. And God's put his stamp on it that it's going to be delivered. All right, someone else. Do what? Yes, all right, Joyce. God help. All right, let's remember this request. Joyce, for her son, Gary. Let him come back to church. God will sure whip us if we don't walk upright. I'm not saying that everything that happens is a chastisement from the Lord, but if it is, we'll know it. So let's remember this request. Remember Gary. I'd like also to remember Joyce's sister and her family. They need to be back in church. Everybody else that's negligent in their service and serving God needs to be active. Someone else? We appreciate the presence of everyone tonight. It's good to have been back. Nothing like having friends and people that love the Lord to help us bear our burdens, is it? That's right. And we need to think more about that. Something else? Anyone else? No, their eyes were holding that they could not behold him. And he is the cause of that. He showed himself to those he wanted to see him. And the book tells us that. Peter said he showed himself alive, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before of God, even unto us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So they are the ones that he showed himself to, and the rest of them didn't recognize him.
Well, with his body, the one he'll live in forever, I heard.
I'm sure it was. It's my opinion. I know I'll have some that disagree with me on that, but I'm still going to hold to it till they prove me wrong. Well, I think I will too if there's any walls to walk through. If I've got a body like his, I'll do what he did. That's the glory of this. And we need to believe those things instead of saying, oh, I don't know about that now. That's being doubtful. All right, someone else. That's right. That's right. Well, God's Spirit is everywhere. It's in this building. It didn't come in the window, I don't reckon, or door. But it comes in. And it's the third person of the Godhead. It's invisible to our naked eyes, our natural eyes, but it's a person. I should say he's a person, because it's not neuter gender, it's he. So, if our bodies are like Jesus, and I believe it will be, there won't be no barriers. Really, I think our bodies will be controlled by our spiritual mind. To think is to receive. Now that might sound a little bit ridiculous to some, but that's the way I believe it. That's right. That's right. No, no. He's going to fix this right. All right. Appreciate the comments. What about our prayer?